Well, good morning. Hey, did you notice that Josh and Luke had joined the worship team this morning? Before you kids go to kids' home, wanted to give the adults as well as the younger campers opportunity to share, if they'd like to, just a very brief testimony about church camp. So if you'd like to stand up and say something that God just did in your life or did to you or spoke through you or spoke to you, this is for the adults too, then take that opportunity to do this. What did church camp, this year's church camp, mean to you personally? And again, it's not just for the kids, it's for the adults also. And it's even for the kitchen crew adults too, because I know they serve faithfully, but they don't get to see everything that goes on, but they're very faithful in their servant's heart. So somebody launch us off. What did camp mean to you this year? Well, we have it's a very unusual Holy Spirit-driven dynamic. All right, how about some young people? Let me ask you this, for campers and adults alike. If I told you tonight we were doing the campfire at Pinora, how excited would you be if you were going back up there tonight to do that campfire? We do a campfire on Wednesday nights, and it's just a time that's kind of hard to describe. All right, thank you, Luke. Michaela. Well, I'd encourage you, the days ahead, talk to people that went to camp. Don't just hear these stories on Sunday morning, okay? All right, Becky, if you want to take all your kids on, you can follow Miss Becky and her band of merry warriors. John, go ahead and put scripture up. And by the way, I knew God's presence was with us at camp when Debbie McConnell showed up with my own personal espresso punch. And she brought her own pitcher. She brought the mixture. She brought the coffee ice cream. And it was, I sleep in a different area than everybody else sleeps. I actually sleep in a different kitchen. And she brought it just for me. So in front of everybody, thank you, Debbie. By the way, praise be to God. It was needed and useful early and often. I want to pray for us this morning. God, as we bless you, we honor you. Thank you for these moments together. God, I don't know that time is getting faster, but it sure does seem to be moving quicker than ever. So, Lord, help us just to settle our hearts and our minds for these few brief moments we have together. God, may this honor you. Lord, I'm not asking you to do something you don't desire to do. You desire to speak to us. You desire to reveal things to us. You desire to give us revelation. So, God, I pray that we won't be hard-hearted nor hard-headed today. Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence. Now, may you move among us. In Jesus' name, amen. Dusty called me late last night. Pretty late for us to call. And he said he wasn't going to be able to make it today. And Miss Ann had shallow breathing. So he said, I need you to do the 11 o'clock. So I had plenty of my usual prep time. So I immediately decided I'd go to sleep. So no, actually, I did something different. I told Kathy that I had to do the 11 o'clock. She said, well, what are you going to do? I said, well, I think I need to do practice what we preach. Let's ask God about it. So I went downstairs and I took my Bible. This is not mine, but it's another one. Got down on our little footstool like I do pretty much every morning, took God's word, closed it, laid it down on the stool, and said, God, there is something in this book of yours that you need to say tomorrow morning. And God is going to say something to you this morning, but I would ask you to think about a couple of questions beforehand. And that is, do you feel blessed today? Do you believe that you are blessed by just simply being here within this body of Christ, within this little meeting place, in all the world you chose to be here this morning? But is your attitude one of, man, I am blessed. God has got something for me and just for me. Are you opening yourselves to what God is doing and has for you? Because if you come in here tight-fisted and your jaw is locked, then let me tell you something. God loves you enough, He'll let you sit there with that kind of attitude. So your attitude one today needs to be, God, I want you to do something in me so you can do something through me when I leave this little area of Savannah, Georgia. The other thing I would ask you to think about this morning is, God, you have God's attention, but does God have your attention? Yeah, that's something about prayer is this. You don't have to ask, hey, God, pay attention to me. God's already paying attention to you, but are you paying attention to Him? That's a huge question that you have to answer today. You have to check your heart. You have to check your mind. You have to ask yourself, am I really in tune to what God's doing in my life, or is the real battle between my submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and doing what God wants me to do in my life, or am I joining God in what He's doing on a regular basis? Remember something. You don't come here just to hear a message and some songs and hang out and laugh about some things or drink coffee, eat muffins, just so you can come back and do it again next Sunday. You come here so when we leave this place, we can have a powerful impact on the world we live in. And does our world need a powerful impact? Okay. So if you're the agent of change through the power of the Holy Spirit, then you need to get all that God has for you today. And I believe today one of the things I'm going to share with you very, very briefly, I shared part of it with the kids at camp on Thursday morning, but I want to share a little bit more fullness, and that is in Philippians 1, 9 through 12. By the way, Kayla, you don't have to take any pictures. There is no outline. It's just the scripture, okay? Kayla doesn't take notes. She takes pictures of the outline, all right? So it says, this is Paul speaking to the church in Philippi. What was Paul's condition as he wrote this letter to the church in Philippi? The man was shackled. He was in a rented house, probably, and but he was bound as a prisoner. He had guards around him. And he writes this letter to the church at Philippi out of bondage, in physical bondage, but in no way was Paul in mental, emotional, or spiritual bondage. I want to ask you a question this morning, today. You might have a lot of physical freedom, but are you still in bondage? Are you some sort of emotional, spiritual type of bondage? Is there something really just kind of holding you back this morning? Because Paul's writing from an attitude of rejoicing and joy, and it says in 1 Philippians 9 through 12, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight." He wants you to grow up. He wants you to have some depth. "And that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." Is it really about your ease, your convenience, your life, or is it for the glory and praise of God? Check your attitude. "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel." Whatever's going on in your life right now, its outcome is to serve the advance of the good news of Jesus Christ. Go on, John. 18 through 21. But Paul says something very interesting. But in the end, what does it really matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Paul was battling some people that decided they would basically pawn the good news of Christ for money. Even though their heart wasn't right, they were still preaching the good news of Christ. And Paul, because he's mature enough to see the big picture, says, you know what, it doesn't really matter. Jesus is being preached. The truth is being preached. They might be doing it for selfish motives, but the gospel still advances. So I'm going to rejoice. "Yes, I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." You know, one prayer we don't have to pray today for Miss Ann Wells is, we don't have to pray that God would save her. She is at peace. She is ready to go be with her Lord. She is ready. She is finishing well. Whether she lives or dies, she's going to be with Jesus, either one more day here or in the very presence of God in the next moment. John, go ahead. And then he says at the end of the book of Philippians, "Not that I've already attained all this, not that I know all the answers, not that I've done everything perfectly, but I've already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of you." Do you realize something, that Christ Jesus took hold of you for something today? He took hold of you. When He did something in your life, He didn't just walk up and put His arm around you. He walked up and He grabbed you. And He's looking you eyeball to eyeball and saying, "Look here, are you going to rejoice with me no matter what I'm asking of you?" Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which Christ Jesus has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. He's not living with regrets. He could have. He could have said, "Wow, a lot of people I've hurt in the past. I messed it up. I wasn't perfect." But he says, "No, I'm looking out and I'm holding on to the very end." Most Bible scholars believe the book of Philippi was written towards the end of Paul's life. So he could have easily have said, you know what, I'm stuck in this house. I've got these chains on my ankles. I've got chains on my wrist. You know what, I've been a good servant. I think I'm just going to kind of coast it on in from this point forward. But Paul says, no, I'm still pressing on. There's still something I'm called to do. I'm going to finish this well. I'm going to look out and I'm going to hold on. Church, listen carefully. There's something you need to be looking out for that God's doing in your life. And you need to grab hold of it as He wants to grab hold of you. And I believe one of the big issues is we need to forget what's behind and let's start looking for what's ahead. But not ahead next week, not even tomorrow, at this very moment. What is God stirring in your life that He's asking you to look ahead, to press into Him? Remember I asked you? I said, does God have your attention? Does He really have your attention? Are you going through life saying, but I can't, I wish I could, but I don't have? I mean, God's saying, I've got it all covered. Press on. Take hold. John, go back a screen, please. Okay? Look at what it says in verse 19. For I know that through your prayers and God's provision, look at that, it depends on you and it depends on me and it depends on Him. It's a team effort. You know, one of the things a couple of the people talked about camp a while ago was it really is a team effort. Yeah. What James said about, you'll have to tell me later what that master of part is. But anyway, one of the things I try hard to do at camp is just get the heck out of the way sometimes. Okay? No one shows up at camp waiting for me to deliver some awesome message. Because I know I don't show up at camp waiting for me to deliver some awesome message. I show up at camp expecting God to make permanent changes. And I want you to know, I expect those changes to begin with me. I would encourage you and challenge you. Are you expecting God to make a change in you today that's permanent and lasting? Because of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. He's not talking about getting to have the shackles fall off and walk out of that house and go back to doing what He wants to do. What He has taught, one of the things He is talking about is that He will not live under the oppressiveness of the world, the flesh, and the devil. He will be delivered from that to the point where He says, rejoice no matter what. Can you say that today in your life? Can you honestly say, rejoice no matter what? If you opened your checkbook right now, could you say, rejoice no matter what? If you look at your week ahead and you say, I looked at my schedule and I, honest to goodness, if I could only double that time, then I could rejoice. Guys, you don't get to put the stipulations of why you get to rejoice, how you get to rejoice, when you get to rejoice. All I'm telling you today is rejoice. And then in 20, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that it now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or death. In essence, He is literally saying, I may be in bondage physically, but I am in no way in bondage spiritually or emotionally, and I'm going to look out to see what God's doing in the earth so I can join Him. And in no way will I live with regrets. In no way will I be ashamed of those I invested in. I want you to think about something just a second. When you leave here this afternoon, yeah, you do represent God the Father. And yes, you do represent your family, but you also represent this body of Christ. You represent this body of Christ. Because one of the first questions I get is when people find out I attend a church somewhere is, what's the name and where are you? Okay? Where are you guys located? And what's your name? So when you leave here, you're part of that. You are part of that body. And you carry the name of Christ with you, but you carry part of the Sycamore Church with you. In no way be ashamed. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Let's say, listen, your experience with Jesus Christ has to be so close and so intimate and so powerful that no matter what, when you leave this place, no matter what kind of garbage the world, the flesh, the devil throws at you, it's greater than those lies. It's greater than the deception. You got to know truth. It's greater than the doubts. You got to know that I've got a foundation of truth that says no matter what, I'm looking out to see the face of God. If He's real to you, if He's real to you today, then you want that and you long for that. You're not here today so we can get back together next week and eat some of Miss Jerry's fine breakfast food or Linda McCusker's fine homemade muffins. You're here today to hear what God is doing, to receive what He's doing and saying, I'm going out those doors rejoicing because I'm looking out and I'm taking hold of that which God has done in my life because He grabbed me, He looked me eyeball to eyeball, and He said, I got a call. And the call begins now. And it's not for tomorrow. And it may have been messed up in the past, but He's giving you one more day. And praise God for that one more day because He's rejoicing in you. He is ready to rejoice in your obedience. Not always easy. But look what he says in 19 again. Prayers and God's provision. What's God's provision? Holy Spirit, spiritual gifts, your willingness, your submission, the lordship of the Jesus Christ, His Word. All the things that you know are right at your fingertips. God is faithful on His part. I'm challenging you today to be faithful on your part. Last week at camp, God did a lot of things. But you know what? While we were gone, God was still doing things in the rest of your lives too, weren't you? Wasn't He? I bet you even on a cruise, God was doing something. All right? Nice pictures, by the way. Okay? God is still in the working out of our salvation business. He is still has a plan and a call that says, I've got some awesome works. The word good works, that's true. That's the English translation. But think of good as awesome things for you to do. John, go back to the next slide real quick. And this is my... the last one. I'm sorry. Not that I've already attained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on. I'm going to get up and I'm going to go at it again tomorrow morning toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I want to ask you a question to just think about for a second as I'm getting ready to pray for us. If you press on to take hold of that which is Christ has taken hold of you, I want you to understand something. If you're obedient, if I'm obedient, if I'm faithful, not faithful every other day of the month, are only faithful in the months that ended with the 31 days. But if I'm faithful day in and day out, do you know what happens as we press on towards the goal? We look behind and there's people following because people will desire to see where you're going because they want to get in your wake because they know that there were real problems. They know that there was real doubts. They know there was real bad. There were doctor's reports that weren't good. They know there were blessings that you were faithful with. God blessed you with a new job. You made more money. Lord, heavens, you started supporting 5 missionaries around the world. You know, that's being faithful. Did you know that? That's being faithful. You will look behind you and you will see, look at what God has done. He has increased my influence. Do you understand that this whole book of Paul to the church in Philippi, one of the themes through it all is his influence in other people's lives, and he wasn't even in the same town. That's influence. That's looking out and holding on to what God is doing and has done in our lives. Is any of this easy at times? No, not going to tell you any of it's easy, but it's fulfilling and it's purposeful and it's life-changing and it's living forever. So the wake behind you, I'd encourage you to think about something today. As a believer in Christ, are people following you because of your Christian faith? Are there people in your wake that's saying, I want what he or she has? You know, one of the great things about the body of Christ is that it is living. So let's don't portray it as dead, okay? Because God won't allow us to get away with that. Because you know one of the things I read into all those scriptures I just read you, and I really wish I could have read the whole book to you, but I decided not to do that to you today. The whole book is this. Hey guys, in Philippi, I've got life, and you've got life. Now let's go live it in Christ. Can you do that for me today? You have life eternal, and it's in and through and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's go live it. Let's don't allow ourselves to stand in bondage and saying, but I have to get this done. What did Stephanie share so brilliantly as well? All those things she had to get done, all those things I was thinking about as I was going to camp myself, none of those matter when you're right where you're supposed to be. Because what you can find out is, hey, you know, God sure was working when I didn't know He was working when I was being faithful. Paul's challenge to us today is, are we being faithful? I don't know all that He's placed in your hands, but are you being faithful with it? That's my challenge for you, okay? All right, that's it for today. Other than, I am going to pray for us. And you know what? We got to work on that air conditioner, don't we? Yeah, we do, don't we? All right. You know, I could have wore a tank top, but Josh and Luke said that I couldn't do that today. So, but I am going to pray for us. And we are going to have a few moments for the altar to be open. Rick and I will be up here. But I want you to put your heart on those cards. I want you to put your heart out to God today. Simple challenge. But lay it out before Him. Let Him have your attention. Okay? Let Him have your attention. Let's pray. Gary, where are you? Father, we thank You for Your Word because it's true, it's accurate, it's everlasting, and it never will go away. Lord, we praise You for that today. Now, God, as there's a stir on our hearts about a lot of things, Lord, I pray that we'll allow You to speak to us about those. God, help us to be honest. Help us to be honest with You. Lord, so often I think we're trying to just deceive ourselves. That's a joke. So, Lord, I pray that we'll be honest with ourselves and honest before You. We bless You and we love You. Lord, we are asking the Holy Spirit just to continue work right now. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar is open. You can get somebody else to pray with you or for you. Or Rick and I will be glad to pray with you or for you. Also, if you have your cards and your envelopes, you want to go ahead and be bringing those forward, you can do that at this time also. Let's pray. Father God, we give You all the glory and the honor and the praise. Now, Lord, we fully acknowledge that we live in a fallen world, but we also fully acknowledge You're a sovereign God, and You're bigger. You're bigger than evil. You're bigger than sin. You conquered it. And God, I say praise be to God for that. And Lord, as the day wears on, may we hear clearly Your voice. And Lord, may we love on You. Not just say we love You, but love on You. Lord, we ask for clarity today in any situation that might be confusing. We ask for discernment. Lord, may we be wise in our steps today. We bless You and we honor You. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all.